This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Well, I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me.
Bit of Bobby Rydell singing Holly Jolly Christmas. Hey, that's pretty good, Ed. Ed came up with it. Burl Ives. His version is probably the best known version of it, but it's a good song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and my buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. Hey, it is 6 days to Christmas, December the 19th. Monday, we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Josh Smith from the Center for Growth and Opportunity is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the ending of Title 42. It ends this Wednesday unless something is done. And this will likely allow another surge at our southern border. Now, Josh says the death of Title 42 is not all that bad. Wow. So we'll talk to him about what he thinks we should replace it with. So stay tuned for that. And there is talk that Vladimir Putin's days as head of Russia are numbered. Are numbered. There is a realistic thought that he may be pulled out of the job. We're gonna take a look at that and see if it's true. And a Twitter poll that Elon Musk himself held found out most users think he should step down. So he says he will step down from Twitter. We are going to delve into whether or not he really will step down. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you our last show, the top 10 cities with the worst drivers. We're going to give you the top 10 with the best drivers. Stay tuned for that as well. All right. Well, we got a lot going on. Hey, the Democrats are going to have their final January 6th meeting tonight or today. It's expected to be the final meeting. They are expected to take action against Donald Trump and his cohorts, his allies. The committee, which subpoenaed Trump in October, will present its final findings. After a year and a half, it is almost for sure it'll issue criminal referrals to the Justice Department. All eyes are on whether or not they're going to try to criminally refer Trump. I don't know how many people are even, who cares, right? This thing's going to be over with when the new Congress.
I care.
Yeah. I know how much you care.
You know what I would like?
What?
It's not going to happen, but this is what I would like. You know, like, when you're done with something, it takes a long time, you get the final bill?
Yeah.
The tally of how much it all cost? How much did this January 6th BS cost the American taxpayers?
Millions.
Opposed to what comes out of it? Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just like the impeachments.
Millions. It's easy to spend other people's money. These people in Washington have a real knack for doing that.
I mean, all they have to do is just come out and say, all we want to do is scare you away from voting for Donald Trump back in office.
Yeah. So today's meeting, the committee, which, by the way, has 7 Democrats and 2 anti-Trump Republicans, so you can imagine what kind of an honest report you're going to get out of that.
That's like having a panel of ex-wives.
Yes.
Nothing good's going to come out of that.
No. You'll leave the hearing feeling like you should never have been born.
No.
Anyway, They will each present, oh, I can't wait for this. They will each present a portion of their findings. Oh, that's great. I can't wait to hear from, what's her name out in Wyoming? I can't even think of her name now.
Senator Ding Dong, what do you have for us?
Cheney. Liz Cheney. I can't wait to hear her report. Some will also summarize the investigation. Others will focus on the alleged ties between Trump staffers and extremist groups. Ah, boy. We'll see where that goes, but it ain't going to go very far, I don't think. I want to see how many people end up in jail from that.
Hey, you know what I found yesterday that popped up on my Facebook? It's something I wrote on 6 years ago.
What?
That Obama was looking into, or was had warned Vladimir Putin, Russian president, not to meddle in the up-and-coming election.
Really?
Uh-huh. You remember that?
I kind of do.
Tells me he was in on it.
Ha. Well, speaking of Putin, I'm glad you brought Putin up. Listen to this, Ed.
It's called a segue.
It's a good segue. More than two decades after Putin came to power, the president of Russia's grip on Russia finally starting to falter. The war in Ukraine has opened up a very big credibility gap for him. And for the first time, any Russians no longer feel they can trust what he says. You mean you're finally figuring that out? That you should not be trusting what Vladimir Putin says? Are you kidding?
I think they figured it out, but they're just not allowed to say it.
That's true. Combined with tough economic sanctions, funds being reallocated to the war, and the forced conscription of men, even many of them older, the cost of this vainglorious conquest becoming more and more difficult to take. It says here, even loyal Russians have plenty of questions right now for Putin. And the people around Putin are getting a little antsy. See, those are the ones that are going to do him in.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called, whatever they call it, the Politburo, whatever it is, all those big wigs.
Is he still eating his dinner like 35 feet away from the nearest person?
I'd have about six taste testers, and I'd wait about an hour after they ate it just to make sure. Of course, by then the dinner would be kind of cold, wouldn't it?
Well, using COVID for an excuse was convenient, but now just paranoia.
Yeah. Every attempt, apparently, to make Putin look like a strong and decisive leader is failing, and failed badly, even inside Russia. You know that this war's been going on since like 9 months now?
Yep.
Remember, at first we thought, gee, you know, he's just going to walk in and they're going to surrender and it'll be over in a couple of weeks. No. No, and that's what I think he thought as well. So, we'll see what happens. Here's an interesting... You know, remember Garry Kasparov? Does that name ring a bell?
No.
Garry Kasparov was a Russian chess player, and he won the world chess match at one point. And I guess he's still in Russia. He says, Putin has never played chess. He's played poker. Putin is absolutely evil. He has gone insane after 22 years in power. I hope he's in a safe place, Kasparov, wherever he is in Russia.
I think if I was playing Putin, I'd let him win.
Yeah, I think I would, too. It's like, did you ever see that clip of him playing hockey?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the funniest thing you've ever seen? All the hockey players, the real hockey players on the ice, were stepping aside as he was stumbling along the ice with the puck. It was really funny. And they were trying to make it sound like and seem like he could actually, he's really good. You know, and he's just one of these natural athletes. Incredibly funny. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, Title 42. It's been like the linchpin, the little pin, whatever, the thumb on the dike that's been holding back a lot of these people that want to cross into our country. And now it's going to expire on Wednesday. And Josh Smith is going to talk to us about whether or not that's a good idea.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, it's kind of cold out there this morning, Ed. This is about the coldest day we've had. I don't know what the temperature was overnight, but I'm betting it was in the 30s here in Tampa Bay.
Actually, this morning's temperature was 47 degrees.
47 this morning.
Christmas morning will be 37.
In the morning?
Yes.
Like around 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess for Christmas, well, you know, that's not so bad. Well, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, you know, he was a former policeman, by the way. He says, with the expiration of Title 42, which is due to expire this Wednesday, he says New York may be forced to cut public services to prioritize an expected influx of some 1,000 additional migrants arriving every week. He says, our shelter system is full. We're nearly out of money. I'm just thinking, this is New York, huge city. What about El Paso, where all of these people are pouring? Can you imagine what's going on and how they have to deal with it there? Anyway, Josh Smith, who is a research manager at the Center for Growth and Opportunity, which is at Utah State University, by the way, has kindly consented to join us again. We're going to talk a little bit about Title 42. Josh, originally, I think it was set to expire Friday or something like that, and they extended it. Now it's looking like Wednesday. Do you think it will be, Title 42 will expire on Wednesday?
Hey, I'm not going to even try to put my money down on a guess of whether or not they're going to do that.
Okay. So, your thought, you actually think that Title 42, the expiration, which is, you know, kind of like the linchpin or the last linchpin of holding back the hordes of people, although many are coming through, you think that the expiration of Title 42 might not be such a bad idea?
So, I think linchpin's the wrong analogy. Let's try if you're baking bread and all you do is flour and water, you end up with glue instead. You need salt and yeast, flour and water to get an effective loaf of bread. And we need not just a high wall, but a wide gate to get the kind of immigration system we can all agree we want.
I must say that is one of the most interesting analogies I've ever heard on the border, but it sounds like a good one. I mean, it's overwhelming some places with all of these people pouring in. Then we got to worry about the fentanyl or whatever that's coming across the border as well, and all the people that are dying from that. I mean, it's almost like a slam dunk in terms of what American people want. They want that border secure. And we just don't seem to want to do it. There doesn't seem to be any real drive inside either party. It would seem to me we would have had this solved long ago. Your thought?
So I think that the real problem here is that Title 42 is a way of actually reducing the penalty of crossing illegally, because you get immediately sent back across the border. People are now crossing multiple times. And the same sort of cartels that are selling that fentanyl are selling, they saw this as a way to offer a package deal, three attempts to cross instead of one attempt, all for the price of one. And so we've seen a great increase in repeat crossers. A lot of the 2.1 million, the record numbers that are surging through those towns of El Paso along the border, those represent people who got they purchased one crossing but are getting three attempts because of that. because Title 42 is letting them come back and forth, cartels have adapted their business model. So we should think about how to build not just that high wall, what kinds of enforcement programs are going to keep you and I safe and help those border towns, but also how do we get workers into cities that desperately need them, to the farmers who desperately need them. We need not just that high wall, but that wide gate.
Why do the farmers need illegal immigrants?
So I don't think they should be illegal. We should find a way to make immigration work for everyone in the country, and farmers are in desperate need of workers. Just here's one example. There are 10 million job openings right now and only 6 million unemployed people. So you can do that math as well as I can. That's 4 million missing people. There are way more jobs than unemployed people in the country. We're 4 million people short. Immigration, the immigration downturn, we have fewer immigrants during COVID, so immigration needs to play a part in solving that labor shortage.
So you're saying that farmers need workers and they're going to need southern border crossers? We don't have enough people that are interested in that, in doing the work? What's going on with the farming industry that way?
So the right way to think about that is a strong recovery from COVID-19's economic effects is not putting accountants to work in the field. It's getting them back to work in the kinds of roles they were in before. Luckily, most Americans don't really fit the right. They're much more qualified than farm workers. And so we need to bring in workers who are a better match for those sorts of skills so we can put accountants back to work in offices instead of out picking our crops.
We're talking with Josh Smith. He is a research manager at the Center for Growth and Opportunity and, in fact, has a piece in The Hill. An immigration fix Democrats and Republicans can agree on. And you're talking about a bill, I think it's called the Equal Access to Green Cards for Legal Employment. Josh, tell us a little bit about that, would you?
Yeah, the Equal Act is a funny example of bipartisanship. You know, politics is always creating strange bedfellows. Here's one example. You have a Utah representative, Republican, John Curtis, working with Zoe Lofgren out in California, a strong Democratic politician. But you also have an even funnier example, which is that back in 2019, Senator Mike Lee, another Utah senator, he and Kamala Harris, the current vice president, actually co-sponsored legislation to do the same thing that the Eagle Act would do,
mm-hmm.
which is a crazy example of the kinds of bipartisanship where here we've identified a simple problem. People from large countries can't get green cards. They can come here legally and work on the high-skilled visa the U.S. has, but they can't ever earn, because of quirks in our immigration legal system, earn a green card. They have to wait in lines that are literal lifetimes, 90 years for Indian immigrants who are here legally.
Nine?
So the Eagle Act is a great example.
I see. No, most people have never heard of the Eagle Act, but is this what you think is in store? I mean, let's assume the Title 42 expires on Wednesday. Is this Eagle Act, this bill, does it have any chance either in this last vestige of Congress or in the new Congress, do you think?
So just like the Title 42 expiration has been kicked down the road, they just kicked the Eagle can down the road as well. So I don't think we're going to see anything on immigration reform this year. You know, it's the 19th of December. People are heading home for Christmas. I think it's going to come in next year. And there we see another great example of bipartisanship. Kristen Sinema out in Arizona, until recently a Democrat and now an independent, and Senator Tillis in North Carolina are working on a package to do some kind of bipartisan reform. That actually, one of the biggest supporters is the National Border Patrol Unit. And so there's a lot of reason to hope that this could be a successful way of securing the borders and bringing some legal fixes to the immigration
system. Yeah, I mean, even the Democrats now, I think, are finally coming to the conclusion that they can no longer ignore what's going on at the southern border. It's become something that is, I don't know, it just seems like everybody... I mean, Biden won't even show up at the southern border. It outrages so many people that he won't go there. But don't you think the pressure on Democrats in particular right now to get something done or to come up with some sort of
some sort of a fix is becoming overwhelming?
I think it's overwhelming for everyone. Certainly, there are border state and county representatives who are Democrats who are speaking out on this exact issue, saying, look, it is my community people are passing through. We need help to deal with this. I think one of the best ways to do that is to widen the gate. We've built a huge wall. People don't realize how much money we spend on enforcement, but actually we spend $17.7 billion, which is $7 billion more than the FBI's budget. We spend a lot on keeping the country safe. We should keep doing that, but we need to get those other ingredients. The salt and yeast, flour, water get you bread.
Yeah.
Just flour and water gets you glue.
Yeah, but you talk about all the money we're spending, and we are. But where's it going? I mean, we don't have enough Border Patrol people. We didn't finish the wall that was started under the Trump administration. We got 10 to 12 million illegal people, and that's just a guess, might be more than that, floating around in this country. I mean, we certainly, you can't say that we don't have enough potential workers to do all of these farm jobs or whatever else we're talking about with 10 to 12 million illegal people wandering around in the country. I mean, here in Florida, there are, and they work very hard, but I bet you a goodly portion of the people I see working lawns and doing landscaping and everything else, or doing even roof work down here, may not have that ID card, you know what I mean?
I think you're right. We've got to find a way to get workers here legally. We actually used to have a program like this that ended in 1964, the Bracero program, and it existed at a time when there was very little illegal immigration in the way we think of it today. Part of that was because we had that wide gate and the high wall. We had legal systems that people could come through. This Bracero program employed about 500,000 people. It's a lot of workers for agricultural industries. And I think that's the kind of reform that we need. And what you'll see there as well is those 10 to 12 people living here illegally in the country really only started coming after we ended these legal guest worker programs, because we made it so hard for people to come across the border, work in seasonal occupations, and return home. So if you talk to immigrants, mm-hmm. a lot of them want to go back to whatever country they came from. They love Guatemala. They love Nicaragua. Even when these are places that are often quite violent, they love their homeland. And so if we created these guest worker programs, I think we would see a lot more seasonal migration and a lot less permanent settling in the country.
Yeah, in fact, I was just going to talk about the history of people coming back and forth across the border, because if you go back into the 20th century and maybe like all the way back into the 50s and the 60s, people from Mexico would come across, they would work, and they would go back home. And we never had the issue we have today. The border was much more relaxed in terms of security. People that came to this country generally and wanted to stay here had a sponsor, and they had to show that they had some sort of a job if they were to come here. It seemed like things worked pretty well. I just wonder what happened all of a sudden. Was it just because there was so much trouble in some of these Central American countries and South American countries? Is that when this border crisis really started to erupt?
I think that's exactly right. We should think about the border crisis as something that has many, many causes. We would have seen a border surge without COVID. It made the border surge larger because these countries have a lot of internal problems. In Guatemala, for example, they have the opposite economic problem that the U.S. has. Way too many people, not enough jobs. So if you're 25, imagine being a 25-year-old guy, you have no prospects in the labor market, but you talk to a cousin who lives here and says, look, come, there's jobs all over the place. I'm working all the time. Of course you're going to pack up a bag and come to the U.S. compared to trying to find work in a place where there just isn't. So we should be finding ways to put those people to work legally, and right now the system just doesn't allow that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does look like something's going to happen by Wednesday, and Title 42 may be gone by then. And I don't know if the Democrats are willing to allow the surge at that point. But, Josh, I want to thank you so very, very much for your very interesting discussion on this topic. Wish you a very Merry Christmas. Look forward to talking with you again in the new year.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Josh. Josh Smith, Center for Growth and Opportunity. The interesting thoughts there. All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back, a Twitter poll, listen to this, finds that most users think Elon Musk should step down. He conducted the poll. He says he's going to do it. We'll delve into whether that's really going to happen.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday before the Sunday, which is Christmas. Listen to this, Ed. This is really, you know how Biden has a tendency to bloviate and maybe stretch the truth a little bit. You know, every once in a while. I don't mean that he does it all the time. Maybe once every 4 or 5 years he says something that's not correct. Would you say?
Yeah, except for the 4 or 5 years. I mean, 4 or 5 months.
Well, he apparently got another ridiculous tall tale out about himself in a speech. Did you hear about this? He made remarks during a town hall for vets in Delaware Friday. At one point he says, my dad, when I got elected vice president, he said, Joey, Uncle Frank fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was not feeling very well now, not because of the Battle of the Bulge, but he said, and he won the Purple Heart, and he never received it. He never got it. Do you think you could help him, Joey? Do you think you could help him get it? We'll surprise him. So Biden goes on, so I got him the Purple Heart. He had won it in the Battle of the Bulge, and I remember he came over to the house, and I came out, and my father said, present it to him, okay? We had the family there. So Biden concludes the story claiming he gave the medal to his uncle, despite his uncle's humble protest. It's a pretty nice story, right? Here's the problem with this. Biden's dad died before he became vice president. His father died in 2002. That Biden became president in 2008, and presenting the Purple Heart to his uncle would have been rather hard since his uncle died in 1999. I mean, you'd probably have to dig him up and then, you know, give him the Purple Heart. I don't think the ceremony would work that well. What do you think?
I'm wondering if that was the answer to somebody's question about the border. And he rattled off about that. You know, because he tends to veer off.
Yeah.
See, Joey lives in a non-digital world. And he doesn't believe anybody can check. You know,
Now, did you see anything in the mainstream media about this?
No, but he thinks.
Can you imagine a Trump
Senate?
He thinks
people are going to drive down to the courthouse and ruffle through some papers and not find anything because they don't keep anything that deep.
That's right. Can you imagine if Trump said that? Can you imagine? That would have been a headline for days.
If he even did half the things.
That's crazy.
That Biden's done.
You know, we kind of need Biden just because we get a good laugh every time he shows up on camera. You kind of think of things in a positive way.
Now he's in front of world leaders and everybody else around the world is watching. That's the thing.
Speaking about people that you get a kick out of when they show up, we got Angelo Ceresi, all right, Northern Sky. He's getting ready for Christmas. Angelo, I bet it's colder than you know what right now in Rochester, New York.
Well, the temperature right now is 31 degrees. It's cloudy.
That's not bad.
And
31?
Is 31 degrees. It's a heat wave.
It is kind of warm. I thought you were going to say it was 12 degrees or something like
well,
that.
Well, it's going to hit that the 15 to 10 to 12 degree mark this weekend. We're expecting a major snowstorm coming in from the west and then coming up the east coast, which we call a nor'easter.
Yeah.
And if I get some nice snow, because usually when we get a nor'easter and we get the wind changes around and it comes across Lake Ontario, we get the lake effect at the same time, you know, we get double barreled. I'm going to make a snowball for you.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to ship it to you out there.
Oh,
I'll put
good.
It in a box with some dry ice. And I'll say lake effect and nor'easter snow together.
I'd love it. Now, what we have to do, we're going to have to put it in the refrigerator, and once it gets here, the transfer has to be quick.
Well, you just heard him say it. You know, all the people that complain about snow, Angelo just said, we're going to get some nice snow. Which
yeah,
means
we're gonna get some
I know, but that means I don't want to hear people to say I hate the snow when there's people like you say, we're going to get some nice snow. And you know what? You're going to get a white Christmas, right?
It looks like we might be having a white Christmas. I mean, we still got some snow on the ground now, a couple of inches of snow, but, you know.
I don't know. White Christmas, though, is 10, I think. Maybe.
Now, you grew up in, Long Island,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Long Island, in East Meadow, Long Island,
yeah,
New
you
York.
You'd get some snow
we had
at Christmas time.
There was a big, big, big blizzard, probably, what, the early 70s, was it, Angelo?
1978, I think it was, the blizzard of 78.
Okay, well, we'd been gone since
well,
then.
Well, actually, in 1966, we had the blizzard of 66.
Okay.
That was in February of 1966. We had about 6 foot of snow. 5-6 foot of snow. Wind drifts. We had blizzard conditions in 1966.
All I remember is opening the door, and the snow was at the top of the door.
Right. That had to be the blizzard of 66.
Yeah. Well, you know, growing up in Chicago, I absolutely am nodding and understanding exactly what you guys are talking about. We've had some real, oh boy, have we had some snowstorms in Chicago over the years. Okay, anyway, off of that. So the mayor of New York City, we talked about this, you probably didn't hear it, maybe you did, is warning that with the expiration of this thing called Title 42, you know what this Title 42 is, right, Angelo?
Yes.
Okay.
It expires on Wednesday.
It's exactly. It's the last thing holding a real surge. I mean, we've been having a surge anyway, but it's holding back a lot of people. It was used because of COVID. It was used to keep people in Mexico because we didn't want any of these diseases like COVID-19 coming across. But the courts found that, hey, you can't use that excuse anymore. You'll have to come up with another one. Well, they haven't come up with one. So it looks like, anyway, the mayor of New York is girding and getting ready, and he said with the expiration of Title 42, they may be forced to cut public services to prioritize an expected influx of additional migrants, approximately 1,000 per week. I'm just thinking that New York can take in those. That sounds almost like an excuse. What do you think?
Well, you know, we got the Queen, Kathy Hochul, the other day. The Queen Governor, Kathy Hochul, she signed into legislation that you cannot use the word illegal alien.
Oh, then pardon me for using
it. Yeah, we can't even say that anymore now.
Okay.
We got documents and stuff like that.
What do we call them? You know what the term was, and it's really, I'm almost afraid to say it, but they used to call them wetbacks.
Yeah. Well, Obama,
years ago.
Because they would be swimming across the
Obama
Rio Grande.
Obama was the one that started the, let's not call them illegal aliens, and then we started calling them undocumented workers.
Yeah, undocumented
workers.
Workers or undocumented immigrants. I mean, it's almost impossible to say the word. It takes 10 minutes to say undocumented immigrants and whatever.
So, you know, the Queen there, you know, being a typical Democrat, liberal, right? This is how they change a play on words. Instead of saying they're illegal people being here, illegal aliens coming into the country. Now we can't even say that. You know, I don't know what she wants us to say now. You know, she's going to welcome them all in. And, you know, a lot of them go to New York City. A lot of them will come up to like, say, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, you know, your four major cities here in New York State. And, you know, what are we supposed to do? This Title 42, maybe they can come up with a new one called Title 43.
Well, you know, she wants them all to give out her home address and bring them over.
Hey, here's the thing. I can't feel too sorry for people in New York or in Chicago or other places. You know what El Paso's going through? El Paso, Texas? Can you imagine being the mayor of El Paso and having to deal with what they're dealing with?
They had a shelter that's built to hold 1,000. Yesterday they had 5,000 of them in there.
Yeah, I mean, how can they do it?
But you know what, though, Paul? I don't feel sorry for America anymore. This past election, look what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They put the Democrats back in power again in the Senate. The people in Pennsylvania voted Fetterman in. And they voted the guy who died in, right? I mean, come on. So America, the people in America, brought it on themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
They gave the Senate to the Republicans. We barely got the House. You know what I'm saying? So these people. So people in America, right? They must be happy. Arizona, look, they voted Carrie Lake. They didn't vote her in, did they?
They voted
that lady in that was the Secretary of State or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All these people, they deserve what they got coming. New York City. He shouldn't complain. They voted Kathy Hochul in.
I guess.
You had a chance to vote in Lee Zeldin, but no, they wanted Kathy. So now New York gets what they got coming to them.
When you say people of America, I got to stop you there because Florida, we did our part.
Well, Florida always does their part.
Yeah, somehow we were completely kind of cut off from whatever else was going on.
That's right. You guys do your thing. We're down here. We're fine.
The rest of the country. Why is it that we did it that way and nobody else did it that way?
Because Florida is the new America. That's why, the freedom state of Florida. Now, the rest of America is left behind.
You got proper
leadership down in Florida that knows what the heck they're doing.
Yeah, I guess we're buying into whatever Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is selling us, and it's working.
he's doing a pretty darn good job.
Unless you listen Thursdays at 10 o'clock.
Why, what's on Thursday?
Well, we have a show here.
Your brother loves them.
The show comes from a different planet where they don't do the things we do down here. But anyway, so... Is there anything else going on? We'll have to send him a coconut. He's going to send us a snowball. What do you think, Ed?
A coconut? We don't live in the tropics.
We don't have no stinking coconuts.
I've never
here.
Seen a coconut in Florida.
I guess you're right. Oh, yes, there are.
We have palm trees, but I haven't seen any coconuts.
No, there are coconuts growing in Miami Beach.
Come on. We're talking
Florida.
Let's send him an orange.
You said Florida. Yeah, we'll send you an orange.
You can send me some white sand from Clearwater Beach, I guess.
We can do.
Well, that's easy.
Heck, we can go out in the backyard here and dig up sand.
Of course, we'll probably get busted for it. Who knows? Yeah.
There'll be a bunch of red ants in them.
Oh, keep them there.
Mix in a few sand spurs.
So, have you talked with your brother, Andrew, recently? Haven't heard from him. Is he doing good?
He's doing good. I talked to him a couple days ago. I guess he's been working on his house and stuff like that and working. He's always working, working in his shop and all that.
For our listeners, Andrew, the Master Barber, has been a longtime sponsor. He's taken a hiatus. He's doing a lot. He's done a lot. If there's anybody that has proven the thing of Good Samaritan, it's probably your brother. With some of the people that he has helped, and he's really terrific that way, I must say.
Well, he's always been that way.
Has he? I was going to ask you, when he was younger, was he like that?
He's like that, but, me being the older brother, I always picked on him, I guess.
Well, of course. That's understandable. Well, listen, you have a very Merry Christmas, Angelo. It's always a delight to talk with you. And we're going to be taking some time off. I'm probably not going to talk to you again until the new year. So let me wish you a happy new year as well.
Merry Christmas and happy new year to you all. And I've been trying to talk my wife into moving down to Florida, but
nothing
yet.
Come on down.
I might take a trip down there at this point.
See, you got to ease her into it. You got to bring her down. Bring her down like around March.
March, right?
You're still shoveling snow up there. You bring her down March. March is the best time because you're about 75 during the day down here, a little 55 at night. And you still tip your toes in the water or something because it's 65 degrees or whatever. Oh. But you know,
over here we've shoveled snow in May.
Yeah, well, March is about the best time.
March. I'm going to see if I can take a trip down there around March.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Angelo.
You're welcome. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And the same.
All of you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Angelo, good. I'm glad he called in. Okay, we're going to take our break. Promise. I promise we're going to talk about Elon Musk, whether or not he's going to stay at Twitter. A new poll, a Twitter poll. Most of the respondents wanted him to step down. We'll find out if he will.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hello, this is Pryor Smith speaking from Toronto. 68 years and counting. Canada Calling. The news from home for vacationing Canadians is back for its 68th winter season beginning Monday, January 2nd. Join me here on WTAN. Clearwater, Dunedin, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. On WDCF in Dade City at 1350 and 102.3. And WZHR in Zephyr Hills, 1400 and 104.3. Canada Calling here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, I had a chance to meet Pryor Smith. He was here in the studio that one day, Ed. You remember
that?
Yeah. Very nice guy.
Yes.
Well, Twitter CEO Elon Musk, he's conducted a poll asking if he should step down from leading the company. And guess what? A majority of users support the idea that he should quit. Wow.
Well, I think we kind of brushed over this last week. There's still a lot of fake accounts out there. So they're probably voting against him. And probably he should.
You think the bots are voting against
him?
Yeah,
I think he should step away and have somebody run it.
Well,
he doesn't run all his companies, does he?
No. He shared a poll Sunday night. He asked his users, should he leave? He said, should I step down as head of Twitter? I will abide by the results. That's what he wrote. So the poll concluded this morning, about 6:30. Most respondents favored him stepping down. It was like 58% said yes, and about 43% said no. And so he wrote, this is Musk, as the saying goes, be careful what you wish, as you might get it.
Yeah, the guy he puts in may be harder than him.
Well, that's the thing. He said he will abide by the results. He is expected to step down in the future if, says here, if he can find a replacement he deems suitable to handle the job.
And why do they want him out? Because he's exposing all the corrupt proceedings and practices that were going on under the old ownership, and the fact that I saw it. One of the reasons is because he reinstated people that were banned, like Donald Trump. If that's your reasoning, come on.
Right.
You know, and I can't remember. There were top three reasons that they gave, and I believe that was the top one, but I mean, yeah, you know, listen,
well,
I would want to run that company.
With the Justice Department.
Sure, yeah.
They colluded with the Justice Department to start censoring.
Oh, and something about membership that you had to go through. You had to have your membership verified. Oh, well, that's how we get rid of the bogus accounts. We wouldn't want to do that.
No.
You know?
Yes.
It's like, well, I don't need a voter ID, for crying out loud.
So Musk goes on to say, no one wants the job who can actually keep Twitter alive. He said, there is no successor. Even though, you know, he resigns as the CEO, he would still own it. You know what I mean? He's still the owner.
Yeah.
So they're just going to have to slide somebody else in to take his place.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see where it goes. But that's it. Yeah, I'm sure. I just can't see him wanting to do this kind of work. He's got so many other things going. It's almost like it gets in the way.
I don't think he should. I don't think he needs that on his mind.
Yeah.
You know, right, put somebody in, let them run it, make it profitable, and keep it fair.
Yeah.
You know?
And finally, before we get to, I want to talk a little sports with you, but car repossessions are on the rise. And it must be a kind of a part and parcel, like a warning sign that we have a recession. People are not paying their car loan,
Along with housing, car prices went up too.
Yes, they did.
The whole thing about used vehicles?
Yeah, right.
Were getting very, very expensive.
They were getting very expensive.
And people now realize, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It sure felt good driving off the lot, but not now.
So the repo man will be busy.
Yeah.
Apparently in 2023 as well. We'll see where that goes.
There's some sneaky SOBs, you know? They follow you. And I had a friend of mine, he wanted to park his car in my garage. I said, no, you're not going to do that. Well, you're going to be repoed.
I knew of somebody that worked as a repo man that was shot dead. Shot dead.
He parked like
trying to take a car away.
He parked like three streets over and they got it.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty good at getting those things. All right, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I was watching some football yesterday. I didn't watch any of the Tampa Bay game, so I know that.
Good.
Tell us, who did they play? What happened?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
What did they play yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, they played for about a half, and then they took the rest off.
Well, maybe that's what. Yes, that's probably correct. Mm-hmm. So they lost. Were they ever in the? And who did they play?
They played the Bengals. Yeah,
Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati's good.
They had their way with them in the first half. It was 17-0. 17-3 at halftime, and then the Bucs were going to get the ball first and second half. He had a chance to go up 24-3.
So they were up 17-3,
and then the wheels fell off. And then they started to think, well, we got a 17-point lead. We can just...
Tom Brady threw a few interceptions.
Yeah,
right?
But he was hit, I think, twice.
Oh, okay.
I think he threw two. One of them he was hit.
So the,
I know that.
The line was not holding up?
The line was okay, but people were not getting open.
Okay.
And it just... I mean, there was such a... Even Tony Romo said, what happened? In the beginning of the game, we had all these motions, and it was great, and they were confusing the Bengals, and they were right down the field. And the second half, they went back to the old, three yards in a cloud of dust.
Because they had the lead, do you think they were horns a little bit, or what? That's a little early, isn't it?
Yeah. You know,
they're still in first place in that horrible division.
That's the part
that's unbelievable.
I don't like, because then you get the head coach that says, you know, no matter what, we're still in first place.
I don't like it anyway because somebody with a better record gets...
You're 6-8. You know what? They're going to play the Panthers. They have three games left. They're going to play the Panthers. Well, next game is in Arizona. Then they're going to play the Panthers at home and the Falcons. And if they win those two games, the Panthers and Falcons, they're guaranteed to be in.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea.
And they'll get a home game.
Yeah, because they're a division a winner. Isn't that weird? With under 500. Okay. All right, Ed. You remember our last show?
Yep.
I bet you can't remember what was the number one city with the worst drivers. Do you remember that?
It's in California somewhere. It was. Bakersfield?
Yes. You know, I wouldn't have remembered that.
See, those memory.
Very good. You have a good
pills,
memory. Yeah.
Those pills are working.
Those pills that you're taking are finally working. All right. Well, let's see if we can remember this. These are the top 10 cities with the best drivers, okay? And again, this comes from a Quote Wizard, which gathered data from 6 million car insurance quotes from the 70 largest U.S. cities. Here's what the were the main factors in determining whether you were good or bad in driving. Speeding tickets, citations like running a red light or distracted driving, accidents, obviously, and DUIs.
All yeah, right? That's never a good thing.
No, that's not a good thing. All right, here we go. Number 10. This one surprises me. Chicago. Chicago's number 10. They drive safely in Chicago. Very good. Number 9. Houston. These are two big cities. Yeah. They're doing well, huh? Well, in the bigger cities, they slow down driving, do you think, maybe? A little safer? I don't know what's going on. All right. Number 8. Well, another decent-sized city, Detroit. Detroit's a good... I wonder where they come up with these statistics. Number 7. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Kind of dreary, I don't know.
Yeah, you think? Pittsburgh is, or what?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 6. Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas. Well, you know, all the steers going across the highway slow you down. You know, that kind of thing there. Number 5. Hey, I used to live here, a little boy. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good old Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know what Tulsa's known for?
What?
You don't know?
No.
Oil wells.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Oh.
Yeah. At one point, I thought they were like number one, but they're not. But, yeah. You know, Phillips 66 and all that come from that area. All right. Number 4. Hey, just up the road, another good driving city is Oklahoma City, capital of the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, did you know that the longest border between two states is the one between Oklahoma and Texas? Isn't that interesting?
What do you do when you get like four corners, when the four states are together and you stand right in the pinprick in the middle of
Yeah, there is one too. Where
can you like take a step to the right and be one
you can
and
be
step
in,
to the left?
Yeah, you can be in. Yeah, you can. There's one point where you there's like three states or four states that come like the tip is right there. All right, number 3. How about Little Rock, Arkansas?
Yeah.
They drive slowly in Little Rock, Arkansas. I don't know why. What's there to see in Little Rock?
Matches their talking. I don't know.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Slow.
Number 2. And this one kind of surprised me in a way. I don't know why. Hartford, Connecticut. That's a lot of insurance companies come out of Hartford.
Yeah.
But since maybe they cover a lot of drivers in Hartford... maybe that's because a lot of insurance people realize how much, anyway, they drive slower there. All right, Ed, what do you think? Let me give you a hint.
All right.
It's kind of like in the center of the country. It's not a huge city, but there's a lot of, this is going to give it
away. Oh, let's go to Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Oh, you like, yeah, well, you not? Like Colorado Springs. They drive slow, but they ski fast in Colorado.
Yes.
All right. No.
No.
How about Louisville, Kentucky?
Okay.
They're all riding horses.
Well, you got a lot of Amish out there, too.
In Louisville?
I think so, yeah.
I didn't know that. Anyway, it is Louisville. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. I hope you're staying warm. Drive safely, please, and remember, freedom works.
No dice, son, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.